The day after Mount Ida College announced that it was closing this spring, its president, Barry Brown, told a campus assembly that one of the reasons why was because of the large number of scholarships that the school owed students. Brown said almost no one at Mount Ida was paying full price. Mount Ida is just one of many area schools that offer major discounts to most students. WBUR's Fred Tice reports on how others hope to avoid Mount Ida's fate.
Mount Ida was awarding scholarships to more than 95% of its students, and on average, those discounts amounted to 58% of tuition. But a lot of colleges have a similar profile.
They're tuition dependent, and so they're dependent on enrollments in order to kind of fund their operations year to year.
Sabrina Manville is co-founder of a Boston startup, Edmit.me. It gathers data on how broadly and deeply colleges offer discounts. The national population of college-age students is declining. That's particularly true in New England, and that matters because although we think of the region's colleges as attracting students from all over the world, most American students go to college within a few hours' drive of home. Manville says small, tuition-dependent private colleges use similar strategies to stay afloat.
And what they have done in order to incentivize students to attend is to play with pricing for different types of students. Sometimes that's based on the financial need of the student. Sometimes it's merit scholarships so that they can attract kind of academically gifted students that might not otherwise consider the school. But New England in particular has a lot of these small institutions.
On average, colleges in the United States are offering nearly a 50% discount on tuition. In the Boston area, Manville says several small colleges discount tuition by half or more and offer some kind of discount to nearly all undergraduates.
Curry College, LaSalle College, and Pine Manor, Simmons, all of these have discount rates of over 50% and are giving discounts to 95% plus of undergraduates, which is a similar profile to what Mount Ida had kind of reported in their data.
Curry confirmed that it offers, on average, a 53% discount on tuition and offers some kind of aid to 95% of its traditional undergraduate students. LaSalle, Pine Manor College, and Simmons College say their business plans are so different from Mount Ida's that they are on a much surer financial footing. Among the graduating Simmons seniors last month was Kathleen Melendi. She said she'd wanted a women-centered college. She applied to all of them. Simmons offered her the most aid.
It was at least $20,000 more than any other school.
In July 2008, when Simmons' president, Helen Drinan, took over, the global financial crash had begun.
We didn't have the cash in the bank to meet payroll. We had to draw on our line of credit, which gets resolved as soon as tuition comes in a couple of months later. But that is what it is to be a tuition-bound college. You have to really pay attention to your cash flows and how you're spending your money.
Drinan soon discovered that Simmons had what she calls a series of calamities.
And as I began to dig in, I realized that we had actually been losing money on an annual basis for at least the last 3 years, to the tune of about $30 million.
Drinan found tuition was not covering expenses. She laid 72 people off. She faced pressure to offer discounts. She found out accepted undergraduates would walk into the admissions office asking if the college could beat the other offers they'd received. Drinan turned to graduate education for revenue. Simmons was already famous for its graduate programs in nursing, social work, and library and information science. In 2014, Drinan says the college started offering online programs in nursing, social work, and some smaller programs.
To the point where we now have a larger revenue base in online graduate education than either undergraduate education or traditional on-the-ground education. And that is what is called diversifying your revenues.
Simmons has 150 graduate students in its nurse practitioner program on campus. In the same program, it has 2,000 students online across the country. The college has also been leasing its valuable real estate to the Harvard School of Public Health and Children's Hospital. And that, Drinan says, has made all the difference.
I think the magic in a college today is to remember that it is a business.
Pine Manor's president, Thomas Riley, has been diversifying that college's sources of income.
The wise college president, the wise college, will say, what else do I have to offer?
Traditional undergraduate tuition and room and board only make up a third of revenue at Pine Manor. The rest comes from international students, dorm room rentals to other colleges, large donors, renting the campus for special events, a daycare center, a graduate program in creative writing, and English language classes. Pine Manor is counting on diversification to make itself sustainable. LaSalle College is adopting a similar approach.
It's absolutely important that every small college in particular have other sources of revenue other than just tuition, room, and board.
LaSalle's president, Michael Alexander, explains that 83% of the college's revenue still comes from tuition, room, and board, but other sources of income are being added to the mix.
But it is important. We have two early childhood education businesses that serve the community and make money. And most importantly, we have LaSalle Village, which we own and operate, which is a continuing care retirement community.
The college also hopes to keep more students after their freshman year by offering a program that promises that tuition will decrease with each succeeding year. By keeping the students, it assures itself of continuing revenue. LaSalle, Pine Manor, and Simmons are very different colleges, but their presidents agree that in an age of declining college-age population, all but the wealthiest colleges have to find new sources of revenue. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Fred Tice.